One of Pope Benedict's prayer intentions for January is the plight of Middle Eastern Christians, who he says are so often discriminated against. The organisation Release International, which serves persecuted Christians worldwide, says the continuing upheaval in the Islamic world looks set to pose the greatest threat to Christians in 2013. Andrew Boyd is press officer for Release International, and he spoke to Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges about their predictions for the coming year.
I think the Pope's prayer is extremely appropriate for Christians in the Middle East because there is currently so much upheaval taking place in the Islamic world. And Release International is concerned for Christians in a number of contexts within that Islamic world. Our greatest concern right now is for Christians within Egypt because there is so much change that's taking place there. We understand from our partners at Release that something like 100,000 Christians have left Egypt since 2011 when the Islamic parties dominated the parliamentary elections. That's an enormous exodus. And we've seen similar things take place in Iraq and elsewhere. So great concern about the upheaval. And of course, there is news that a Christian member of Egypt's upper house of parliament has left. This is Nadia Henry, who represented the Anglican Church in the upper house. And she says that the Islamist-backed charter does nothing at all to protect minorities. So concern there continues to grow. But in terms of the greatest immediate threat, well, we've seen yet again over Christmas attacks on Christians in northern Nigeria. So there have been two attacks on Christmas Eve, both in the north. These are states which have Sharia law. Strict Islamic law has been imposed. But there is a clear agenda here to drive out Christians from the north so that the whole of the nation there becomes exclusively Islam. What we're seeing there in Nigeria is a religious cleansing by extremist groups like Boko Haram. So at least 12 Christians have been killed in two attacks on Christmas Eve, which is appalling.
You also mentioned that another hotspot in the Islamic world is Pakistan, where you say that persecution here is increasing by leaps and bounds. Why is it? Why is it getting so much worse so quickly?
Yes, Release partners are saying that that's happening, but we're finding increasingly that news that comes out of Pakistan is just down to a set of headlines. There are so many difficulties facing Christians there that the reporting that comes out of there has been this, there has been that, there has been the other. But one of the greatest concerns in Pakistan, which of course is a country which has had people from that nation who've been involved in Al-Qaeda, became a safe haven for bin Laden, of course. What we see happening there is that there is a blasphemy law which has been imposed and enforced for a number of years, which has been used again and again and again against minorities, not just Christians within Pakistan, but certainly Christians. So this particular law, what happens is that people fall out, neighbors fall out, and people are accused of blasphemy. Once you've been accused of blasphemy in Pakistan, that really is like a death sentence, whether you're found guilty or not. So we have the first Christian woman who's been sentenced to death, Asya Bibi, facing yet another Christmas on death row in Pakistan. There are others as well. So increasingly we're seeing Pakistan as being a very unstable nation. And the concern there is, as we say, persecution in Pakistan is increasing in that nation.
You also single out North Korea, a totalitarian state, and say that there is likely to be increased persecution there. Again, why is that?
North Korea has had a change of leadership. There's a new young leader, Kim Jong-un, in that country, and he's said to regard the underground church there as being a possible source of resistance to his leadership, which of course is as yet untested. So Release's partners, an organization called Helping Hands Korea, say that Kim Jong-un is seeking to repress Christians even more severely than his father, Kim Jong-il. Now that really is saying something because North Korea has topped the list published by many organizations of the worst place in the world to be a Christian for quite a number of years. So if you are a Christian in North Korea, you can face being put into camps which have been likened to concentration camps, not just you, but your family down to three generations. And these are places where people are killed. They are worked to death, and the conditions that are being described from those camps are absolutely appalling. It's hard to understand how such a thing could happen in the modern world, But if you think back to the reign of Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, who erected a great statue of himself and told everybody to bow down and worship it, there is a great golden statue in North Korea. And there is that mentality, which is really a kind of a form of emperor worship, wrapped up in the clothing of communist totalitarianism. The other totalitarian state that is of particular concern is a much, much smaller one, and that is Eritrea, where something like 1,500 Christians have been arrested for their faith. Christians are forced to join the military along with everybody else, and when they sign up to be conscripts, they're forbidden to pray, they're forbidden to read their Bibles, and those who are found doing so have been locked up in shipping containers in the heat of the desert, freezing at night, baking by day, appalling abuse of Christians happening in that nation. Of course, it's a small nation, and it's relatively on a small scale, but for those who've gone through that, it's dreadful.
Another country which is a democracy is India, where you say that militant Hinduism is on the rise. So what there do you feel is likely to be in store for Christians in 2013?
Well, we've seen a number of states in India, seven states, have passed so-called anti-conversion laws. They all seem particularly reasonable on the face of it. The idea is to prevent forced conversion, it's to prevent bribery, to make people convert. But it's being interpreted in such a way that even Christian acts of charity are seen as coercion or bribery. So what's happening in India is the same as is happening in a number of other places. It's a kind of a militant nationalism which wraps up religion into it. So the philosophy in India is Hindutva, and that is essentially to be an Indian is to be a Hindu, and nothing else will do. And it's in the context of that that we've seen attacks take place against Christians and also against Muslims. The film Slumdog Millionaire, for example, shows an attack against Muslims by militant Hindus in India. Now, the same thing is being faced by Christians in that nation. So what is happening is that the house churches in particular are being targeted by Hindu activists who are attacking the Christians, typically with iron rods and sticks. And at Release International's partners in India, who are working to defend people in the courts and also working to provide whatever kind of practical help and support they can do, they say the persecution is continuing and continuing to grow in India. And like Pakistan, the reports that are coming out of that country list attack after attack on Christians.
Well, so far it's been very much a message of doom and gloom, with all these countries expecting increased persecution of Christians. Are there any glimmers of light in this rather dark picture?
Well, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we've been warned to expect persecution. That doesn't mean that we should be doomy and gloomy, but what Release is doing is highlighting the areas of particular and growing concern. Obviously, across the Middle East, going back to Pope Benedict's message, there is a strange mixture of hope for the future, that there is change in the air that's taking place there, but there is a great jockeying for power among some radical groups who want to seize control of those nations. I think if you were to talk to Christians in Egypt now, their view may be a little bit more realistic than it was during the Arab Spring, but there is still hope for change there. And what we're seeing happening is a growing unity among believers, Christians who are Protestants, Christians who are Catholics, who are joining together to pray for their nation, to stand together, to recognize that actually we are all in it together. And in that, there is a great hope for 2013.